Our scripture this morning comes from John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The Bible does not exist in a vacuum. The Bible exists in an atmosphere. There are things around what's going on in the Bible, the things that are referred to in the Bible. The things that happened there are not recorded just because they were recorded. They're recorded because there were things and questions and hopes and dreams and issues and problems that were being addressed. So that when Jesus in John 14, verse 6, says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father by me," Jesus is referring to that in an atmosphere. And the atmosphere then and now is that we don't live in a world where we know the way, the truth, and have the life. We live in a world where we have dark, dead ends, we have lies, and we have to face death. These words become meaningful because of that. Let's pray together, please. Lord, we give you thanks for being with us today, for guiding us into a place of worship, for offering us a word that will encourage us, but even more than that, it is a word that will bring to us salvation. This is the gift you bring. You're not just the encourager. You are the Savior. For that we give thanks. Be present with us now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own and you know what you know and you are the one who will decide where you go. You look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, "I don't choose to go there." With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. You may know these words from Dr. Seuss, and a brilliant book that was written years ago, but every year at the end of April and through May and into early June, it's found beside the cash register at every bookstore and many other stores in America. It's a book called, "Oh, the Places You Will Go," and it's a graduation book. I have four of those myself, and many of you have those, and it talks about how the day's your day. You've graduated, and you're on the way to go where you go, but early on in the book, 55 pages, but early on page 5, we come to the place where Dr. Seuss says, "With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street." I wish this was true. Sometimes the not-so-good streets are the streets we go down. It's our plan. It's what we choose. Sometimes we choose darkness. Sometimes we choose to go down the place that is a not-so-good place. I only say this because all of us make mistakes. All of us find ourselves every now and then in darkness. Dr. Seuss was brilliant in this book because it becomes an annual bestseller for about 2 months. But more than that, it is a book that almost seems to be biblical as it moves along and talks to us about the realities of this world. Because the world in which we live is a world that is not a world of the way, the truth, and the life. It is a world of the dead end dark place, the lie, and death. And these are the issues that we face every day of our life. I live in the belief in the back of my head that every home is a safe place, that every individual is a person of integrity, that all the people that I know are trying to do the right thing, and that safety and security and hope and promise are in every home. The truth of what I know is that every home that we know has a dark place. Every person that we know lives in darkness. Every individual that we know has bought into some form of a lie to the point that we become the keepers of the lie. We project those, we share those, we offer them. Others become believers in the lie because we have shared it in our own way. And we do so because we think that's the case. We believe that we are in the light. Living in darkness is always a thing that we can't see. If we could see that we were living in darkness, we'd make a change, but it lies to us. It hides itself. I don't need to speak to you about your darkness, but in the nighttime when you awaken and you hear stories in your head that go over and over about the things that you've done, or whenever I remember the people that I've loved and cared for, and at times how I have abused that relationship or used that relationship, it's a part of our living in that we are not going to be perfect. Truth be known, if we were perfect, we would not need Jesus. So that being a sinner, knowing that I'm broken, that binds me together with Jesus Christ. But more than that, it binds me together with every other Christian I meet. Churches are bound together by individuals who know that they are needy, who know that they are broken, who know that they cannot make it on their own. And they come together into the body of Christ so that they can have each other to rely upon and not just be out there on their own trying to make their own way. If you're a plumber, you had better love stopped up pipes and stinky things that have to come out of those pipes. That's what your job is. If you're a police officer, you'd better pretty much be in love with sinners, because that's what you're going to be around, criminals and those who are broken and those who break the law. If you're going to be a Christian, you'd better be in love with sinners, because that's who you sit with on Sunday mornings. That's who you're a disciple with during the week. Those are the people that you will go and attract, because the church is a place where sinners come to find their hope and their promise and their healing. This is who we are. We often forget that we are sinners. We believe that we are justified, sometimes self-justified. Self-justification may be the biggest lie in all the world. Self-justification means that we have justified ourselves through lying to ourselves that we are okay. That's one of the great problems that we have, and I have it, and maybe you have it. I don't know that. If you want to be around justified people, go to Rotary Club. I'm Paul Harris Fella. I've been a part of Rotary most all of my professional career, and I've never met a bad person at Rotary. All Rotarians are perfect people. Well, maybe one or two, and at least myself, but besides that, all perfect. If you want to be around God's people, then you are around the church where needy people come to find their hope and their promise, to give thanks for their salvation. I know this, that there have been parts of my life when I found myself down the dark, dead-end roads, believing in lies, telling myself I can make it, I can do it on my own, nobody is hurt besides me if anybody gets hurt, I can do it just once, nobody will know. those are the lies that I tell myself, because anytime I find myself in the dark, dead end place, believing the lies, I am needy. I cannot make it on my own. I am impacting the lives of many other people. It will not be just for once. The truth is, the dark, dead end places of the lies, the place where we face death, are those places where we have told ourselves the story and believed it because it's convenient. So as I tell you this, there have been those moments in my life when I found myself in the dire situation where I've known something about the dark abyss that awaits me, where I've moved into a place where I possibly shouldn't be. And when I've found myself in those places, I have been blessed, because always awaiting me there was a disciple of Jesus Christ who not literally but figuratively put my head and my face in their hands and looked me in the eye and said, "There is a way out of this. You cannot believe the lie. You must know that if you stay here, you're going to be in jeopardy, even unto death." I've had unbelievably faithful people in my life who have picked me up and walked me out and walked with me and walked me to the place where I could find the way again. The place of finding the way is always in the hands of disciples. Even though Jesus is the way, I don't know of many people who have found the way of Jesus without somehow having a disciple who would guide them, who would direct them. You can't tell it from this setting here. I chose this setting on my farm in Forsyth County to give you an example. There's this rundown old tobacco farm. This is a tobacco barn here on this side, and over my shoulder here, you can barely tell, is an old road. It is a way. It is a place where people used to travel. It begins about a half a mile over there. It ends about a quarter of a mile over there. It's just a path. It was never a state-owned road. It was just a path that people knew of, and they would make their way through. I remember as a child seeing people go down this path, this road, on horseback, going from here to there. Or even some people would have a hay field over there, but a barn over there, and they would go and cut the hay, put it on the trailer, and come down this road, winding their way around to where their barn was over there. It was a shortcut, a way that people would cut through. There's a foundation of a building right down here that my family never speaks of. I'm of the belief it was put there by an uncle. Nobody ever talks about what it was, but when I look at all the broken quart jars and bottles lying around it, I am of the belief it was a building where an uncle sold illegal, and people came down the road, and it was one of those not-so-good places, if you know what I mean. In this barn right here beside of me, I would often walk down early in the morning to pick cucumbers or beans or squash or check the tomatoes, and I'd walk by this barn to go down to the garden patch, and there'd be people in the barn. This is a tobacco barn, used maybe five times a year to cure tobacco. Besides that, it sits empty. There would be people who had come down to the building behind me and had spent the night. And my grandmother may have been with me when we walked by, and she'd say, "Don't look at it, just be quiet, let's go on by." And I would sneak a peek back, and I'd see the door crack open and people come out and run away. They'd been here all night long. This is a not-so-good place. This is a not-so-good road. Here's the catch to all of this. We in the Christian church have made it known that we believe that our job is to go into the world and make Christians. We don't have the power to make Christians. Only Jesus Christ makes Christians. We only have the power to make disciples. Being a Christian is what Jesus does for us. Being a disciple is what we do with what Jesus has done for us. And sometimes being a Christian means that we have been made into a place of perfection. We've been forgiven. We've been put into a right relationship. But as a disciple, we are called to go down not so good places, to go down not so good streets, to go to the dark place that is a dead end, to there find people who are lost. In my town, I grew up with a young man. His name was Gary Lee. Gary Lee was a bit less weight than normal. He pretty tall guy, but he was skinny. He had a hair color that was of no fault of his own and of no great consequence, and a complexion that made him stand out such that he was picked on by everyone. Now, most all of us have been picked on at some point in our life. We've been bullied, but Gary Lee was picked on all the time. And most of us, even those of us who've been bullied, we would many times wind up bullying other people because when the crowd did it, we went along with them wanting to be a part of the crowd and not be one of the ones bullied. It's a middle school game that you learn, and most adults never forget it. Gary Lee was on the football team and on the baseball team and played basketball. On the football team, sometimes he would be just standing somewhere and somebody would sneak up behind him and get down on their hands and knees, and somebody would walk by and push him just a little bit, enough for him to hit them and fall over them on the ground, and everybody would laugh. Sometimes he was a tackler. He would tackle people. And so he's a linebacker. And so whenever he would sometimes go tackle somebody, because of his slight build, the person would just keep running. And they'd look back and say, "What was that, a mosquito?" And everybody would laugh. Gary Lee always tried to make himself look tough and act tough. His father had a junkyard in town. And that was where you went to find stuff. If you needed a particular gear to fix a machine or some sort of metal that you could malleably make into something that you could use, you'd go get it. And we were often there trying to find things that we might need for the farm. I bought my first bike there, as a matter of fact. It came in a box, cost me, I think, $2.10. It was all in parts, old and rusted, and I got it and put it together. It's a great bike, rode it forever. Gary Lee's dad was just as different from Gary Lee as he could be. Gary Lee's dad was thick and broad and tall. He played football in high school, was a local hero. Everybody remembered him. He was everything that Gary Lee was not. He always wore a pair of bib overalls, and I never remember him ever wearing a pair of shoes, whether it was summer or winter or any time. He was always barefoot. And I remember once going over to look for something on a cold Saturday morning with my father. Gary Lee's father raised rabbit dogs, little beagles, and one of the little baby beagles had gotten loose, a pup, and was running around Gary Lee's daddy's legs. You know how little puppies will do, you know, sitting there for a while and then rubbing up against you. I want to be considerate here. And so for adults, you'll understand what I'm saying when I say that Gary Lee's father took something out of his pocket of a firearm nature. And once he had done what he did, his comment was, "A dog that'll rub around your leg will never be a good rabbit dog." I saw Gary Lee's father do this to a puppy. A home is supposed to be a place of security, where you go for safety, for hope, and for promise. Can you imagine the home where Gary Lee was raised? So that on a Friday night, whether we were ahead too much or behind too much, I cannot say, but The coach called for Gary Lee to go in, and there was a little bit of a chuckle on the sideline with the football players and a little bit of a chuckle from the fans. Gary Lee went in, and the runner with the ball came right at Gary Lee. He tried to tackle him, put his head and shoulders down, and laid into him, and the man just kept on moving in for a touchdown, and Gary Lee was left lying on the ground. There was a hush in the stands because Gary Lee wasn't moving, and everybody was concerned. And it was then that down in the stands we heard this great voice that, "Get up from there, son. Show them what you're made of. Don't be weak." It was his father, the great football player man, who said this to his son. "I never saw Gary Lee after graduation. He had enlisted in the Marines. Going to prove who he was. It was during Vietnam. I don't know what happened to him. I've heard some people say that he shot his toe off to get out of the Marines. I don't know about that. Then went off and lived somewhere else. Or some have said he was killed in Vietnam, and that may be the case. I could investigate to see. All I know is this. I hope there was somebody, a disciple of Jesus Christ, who at some point got Gary Lee's face in their hands and pulled that face close and looked in their eyes and said to him, 'There's a way out. You can be okay. You don't have to live with these lies. You don't have to be at this dark, dead-end, not-so-good street. You don't have to believe in the myth of death. Because Jesus Christ has conquered it all, has offered it to us, the way, the truth, and the life, that we will never be impacted by the dead-end, dark place, the lie of this world, and the death that awaits us. This is the gift. This is who Jesus is. And this is who we are to be as followers, disciples. Let's pray. O Lord, remind us always of those not-so-good streets that we do not choose to go there, and yet we find ourselves. Hold us together as those who are continually accountable to you, as you are our Lord and Savior. We give you thanks. Hear our prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.